From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. There is a lot of talk these days about cracking down on illegal immigration, securing borders, tracking foreigners. That kind of talk isn't new. It was especially in vogue after the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, for example. But in the past, efforts to control illegal immigration have always been undermined by interest groups from across the political spectrum. NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports on why this time may be different.
U.S. immigration policy is mostly about who gets in and who gets to stay in this country. And who gets to stay depends a lot on who gets a job. Nobody knows this better than Alan Simpson. He spent 18 years in the U.S. Senate pushing for ways to keep illegal immigrants out of the workplace. And he failed. He failed, he says, because so many interest groups fought him. They attacked his proposals as too costly, unworkable, unfair, discriminatory. But, he says, these complaints masked the real reason.
Greed.
There were so many groups, says Simpson, and they were so powerful. The Alliance of Small Businesses, the National Manufacturers Association, the Chambers of Commerce, the hospitality and tourism industry.
You forgot one group, the greedy growers, who will tell you that there'll never be another walnut eaten or another raisin ever chomped on your oatmeal unless they can have a steady supply of illegal undocumented people that they can pay peanuts to.
It wasn't just business groups. Stephen Camarada's with the Center for Immigration Studies.
They have been in a coalition with ethnic advocacy groups like La Raza and MALDEF, you know, these Hispanic groups. In addition to that, they've been buttressed by sort of ideological libertarians, the Wall Street Journal, the Cato Institute, and so forth. And so this kind of left-right coalition have been very successful in making sure that the law has no teeth.
A little history helps here. In 1986, Congress passed a landmark immigration law. On the one hand, it made legal nearly 3 million foreigners who had been in the U.S. illegally. It also aimed at stemming the flow of illegal immigrants by making it a crime for employers to knowingly hire them. But no one agreed on a surefire way for the government to verify who was legal and who was not. And the coalition the Camarada talks about lobbied to keep it that way. Immigration advocates complained a verification system would be unfair. Civil libertarians cried, "Big Brother." Businesses argued it wasn't their job to be the immigration police.
I think most companies will take the position that they are in business to make money.
Charles Cook is a labor lawyer in Atlanta. He represents businesses and growers on immigration issues.
They are in business to create value for their shareholders or for their owners. And as a consequence of that, their job is to create jobs and to create wealth. In order to do that, they're going to need workers.
Those arguments won out, and by the early 1990s, immigration reform was more talk than action. Then came the World Trade Center bombing in 1993. The talk turned to national security and ways to crack down on illegal immigration. But the economy was booming. Businesses needed workers, from hotels to high tech. So when Congress began crafting a new immigration reform law, the tensions between national security and economic growth became clear. Congressman Lamar Smith, a Republican from Texas, sponsored the 1996 bill. He says he now regrets that the toughest security measures he proposed wound up on the cutting room floor.
Because in that bill, we had not only more Border Patrol agents than had been hired so far, we also had an entry-exit system where we could track individuals coming into the country for a short period of time and know whether they had returned to their home countries when their visa expired. We had pilot programs for tamper-proof cards so that individuals couldn't be using fraudulent cards so easily or transferring their immigration documents to other people.
Another idea that died in the 96 immigration bill was the one near and dear to Alan Simpson, a way to help employers verify whether a worker was legal or not. By now, the booming economy was attracting illegal workers in record numbers. So the U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Service stepped up its workplace inspections, like this one at a construction site in Virginia.
How long have you lived in the United States, sir?
There was a huge backlash. Alan Simpson remembers the reaction to INS raids at some resorts in his state.
I can tell you, I had calls from Jackson, Wyoming saying, "Simpson, you big poop. What the hell are you doing? They've come in here and ruined all the bed making and food service for 2 months, and how did you let that happen?"
The INS targeted meatpackers in Nebraska and onion growers in Georgia until the backlash hit, says Stephen Camerata of the Center for Immigration Studies.
When they began to try to enforce the law there, they were specifically instructed not to do that by Congress. Both congressional delegations from both states, governors, and so forth, all petitioned the Justice Department, and Janet Reno told them to pull back.
And they did. Inspections dwindled from a high of 8,000 a year. There have been less than 600 this year. So it's been easy for illegal immigrants to get jobs as airport security screeners or as landscapers who work outside the vice president's house, jobs that are now a matter of national security. The way one government official puts it, there's been no political will to stand up to the special interest groups and stop illegal immigration. And that, he says, has created loopholes big enough for anyone to fly a jet through. Again, Alan Simpson.
I can tell you, those days are gone forever because there's a funeral pyre sitting in New York City with 5,000 human beings under it. And if anybody thinks things are going to be the same with immigration, the drinks are on me.
Already, the House and Senate have approved a new high-tech system for tracking foreigners and a tripling of Border Patrol agents. For now, at least, it appears the talk has moved to action. Claudia Sanchez, NPR News, Washington.